It's time for Backyard Almanac. Larry Weber is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac. Larry, May is upon us. Holy buckets.
Yeah. I want to look back on April for a bit before we look into the future. We ended the month with a few days that were kind of chilly. And overall, for the whole month, we had an average temperature a little bit less than normal, not that much, within 2 degrees of normal. We did have quite a difference, first half, second half. The first half, we had an average temperature of only 33 as compared to the normal of 36. Second half, we had an average temperature of 43 as compared to the normal of about 45. Precipitation-wise, if you lived through this past week, you'll notice we certainly got plenty of precipitation. For the entire month, we were more than an inch above normal. Now, if you look at the statistics so far for 2026, we have, once again, quite a bit above normal for the whole year so far. I was asked recently, does this mean our drought is over? I think all you have to do is start looking at the level of the water in the local lakes, and you'll see that's still low now. The statistics that go from January 1 are fine, but they don't mention that the end of 25, we had a very big deficit with moisture. And so we are still trying to fill in that deficit. We'll see. Certainly the rains that we got this week did cut down in the chances for fires. At my house, during a few different days, we got a total of almost 4 inches of rain. The Weather Service in Duluth had only 2.5 inches during that time. But like I said, that cut down on the chances of fire. The fires that we get in April are grass fires, and it's obvious because when the snow melts, the dead grass underneath is going to get exposed, and even the slightest flame can start it up, and then if we get some wind to go with it, the fires can just take off. And we did see that in different places. Right now in some parts of the country, it is definitely going on. If we look at a few other things from April, it was interesting. We had our last snow of any amount early in the month. Now, there is still some possible snow showers, and it has happened again in May, which I'll talk about in a moment. We had our last temperature of below 10 degrees. That was back on the 7th. We had our first temperature of over 70 degrees, and that was on the 16th. We had our first thunder showers, which will, of course, continue as we go through the rest of the warmer months. The wonderful month of May that we are starting has an average temperature of about 52 degrees. And yes, we have a much more precipitation than what we had in April. May, we don't think of ourselves as living in a climate that has a rainy season, but yes, we do. We get more rain and more thunder showers. Snow for April was back in the beginning of the month. The total amount that we had for the whole month was 8.7, a little less than 9 inches, which is not that far from the normal. Normal is about 9. Now, do we get snow in May? Oh, yes, we almost always get something. We get some flurries or something like that, not a large amount. But if you have a memory that goes back to 2019, 7 years ago, we had a May where we had 13 inches of snow. Okay, so it can still happen, but don't expect much. Instead, we're going to see the opposite. We'll probably see warmer days. I always expect sometime in the first half of May, we'll have a day or two that gets up to 80 degrees or even more. And so we can look forward to that. What else is going on? Well, the days continue to get longer. We passed the threshold of two different things in the last week or so. And that was we started having sunrises before 6 o'clock in the morning, and we started having sunsets after 8 o'clock in the evening. This makes for more than 14 hours of daylight. We're approaching 14 and a half hours of daylight. We will, somewhere around the middle of May, reach 15 hours of daylight. However, even though we work toward the summer solstice coming up in June, we never quite reach 16 hours of daylight. We get close, but not quite there. The bird migration continues, the hawk count going on at West Skyline. Turkey vulture, bald eagle, sharp-shin hawk, and broadwing. Now, the broadwings are the interesting one because the other ones don't really migrate that far for the winter. But the broadwings do. They go all the way down to Central America. So when they start coming back, it shows that, yeah, we're really serious about getting into spring. Pelicans, if you haven't yet gone out along the St. Louis River near Chambers Grove, yes, you do so. Hundreds of them, and they're scattered at different locations. Very big white birds flocking. You can't miss them. The songbird migration in April has been probably the biggest group of birds that have come through have been the sparrow. At least six different kinds. Most notable are the gray-black juncos. But I had a big flock of white-throat sparrows in my yard this week. It was interesting that even though it was raining, they were right there the whole time during the rain. Besides those, there has been a variety of thrushes, robins, bluebirds, hermit thrush have all been showing up. Various woodpeckers, especially the two migrating ones, the yellow-bellied sapsucker and flicker. Swallows have the only swallows I've seen have been the tree swallows, and they are able to handle the cooler conditions better than most, but the swallows are insect-eating birds, and they want to wait for a time until there's plenty of insects. Same way with the phoebe and other flycatchers. They wait until they get a good time for it, and the same way with warblers. Warblers are showing up, and they show up in big numbers in May. One of the beauties of living here is that we get a big variety of warblers coming through in May. About two dozen kinds. Now, that is amazing that many kinds could show up. And they're active during that time. They're very colorful. And even though the word warbler refers to sounds they make or songs they make, a lot of them don't really sing that much during migration. And they can be frustrating to try to see because they're small and they move around a lot. But however, you don't need to see all two dozen to appreciate them. Just seeing a couple is interesting. I had an experience this week where one of them, a pine warbler, came to me and flew right up and landed on the feeder just outside the window and sat there. So we have a couple kinds that have shown up. I've seen so far yellow rump warbler and pine warbler, both of which don't really migrate that far. Now, a lot of our warblers go all the way down to Central America. They're down there. They don't know how weather conditions are here. So they'll start back, and sometimes they'll come back when it's too chilly for them, and they'll just wait, and they could have a tough time. But it's very important that they come back because of something else that's going on, and that is the trees are starting to open their leaves. I saw this past week with the elderberry. I have almost always the first one of the season, the first tree to open its leaves are elderberry. And that's followed then by many others, most of which are kind of small shrubs and so forth. Later in the month, we start getting the bigger trees, such as the aspen. The really large trees, oaks and maples and basswoods, don't open their leaves until the end of the month. But when those leaves open, they are immediately met by caterpillars that feed on the leaves. And so what the trees need, they need something to come along and eat the caterpillars. And that's when the warblers show up. So the timing is very important for that happening in May. There's also spring wildflowers that have a timing of their own. They have to take advantage of the time right now where the leaves are mostly not on the trees. Therefore, the sun penetrates all the way to the forest floor. And when the sun penetrates that far, they're able to take advantage of it and grow. There has been so far three different ones that I'm aware of that have started to bloom, and they are the usual three, the hepatica, which is almost always the first one to bloom, but that's been followed by the blooming of bloodroot and spring beauty. So it's worth getting out and taking a look. If you know a place where there are some flowers starting to grow, they'll go very quickly now. There'll be a large numbers of them. If we get some clear days and a warmer temperature, Also of note was the flowering of the red maples going on now, the big trees of red maples. The flower isn't very big, but they're sure beautiful, and there's large numbers of them. There's still many catkins on the aspen, willow, and alder that have grown large. Once they spread the pollen, they'll drop off, and we'll start seeing these gray caterpillar-like things falling around on the ground. That's the catkins of these trees. And then there's trees like forsythia or leatherwood, which are starting to blossom as well. So the trees are coming around, and we'll see a lot of that. One of the names for May is that it is the greening month. In addition to being the flowering, it's also the greening month. I had a fabulous experience of my own just recently this week where I was walking on a trail in the woods. And what did I see on the small tree in front of me? But I saw a spider web, the first one of the season. So anytime we're seeing spider webs, you know there's got to be something they're trying to catch. And so, yep, there are other insects out there as well. So welcome to May. It looks like it's going to be, again, another terrific month. So take care.
Thank you very much, Larry. That is Larry Weber. Larry is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac.